Welcome to the Kendi and Rabo podcast, sponsored by Maeve's Bar Sligo.
We're back. We're not only back, but we're back in business and we're back with some guests. And we have Bob Coggins.
Bob Coggins.
From the White Hag Brewery is here. Bob Coggins. Now, we'll start off by very briefly explaining why you're actually here.
Yes, Bob.
Not for the people out there.
No.
Because Ray told me nothing. Oh, so I don't know.
I said Bob was coming.
Yeah. I said so.
I met Ray out at Matt Lyons' on Saturday.
Right.
And I says to him, I must give you a couple of cans
yeah.
of the beer for the podcast because we have a special beer coming out for Paddy's Day.
Yes.
And I says, I'll give you a couple of cans and you can shite on and talk about it.
Yeah.
He said,
shite on.
Would you drop it?
Well, that's exactly what we do, Rid. That's perfect.
I listened to the podcast before. And I says, sound, I'll drop them up. He says, tell you what you do. Come up yourself with the cans and just come in and tell them about it.
I don't remember it happening like
I think, well, that's now...
That's putting a lot of responsibility.
I skipped some detail on the first part. I skipped enough detail on the first
bit.
Sorry, I was picking some fluff off Ray's eyes. So you're here to show us the new White Hag St. Patrick's.
I'm not really sure why I'm here, but I have the beer here, yeah.
This is a special beer. Now, the last beer that I tasted belonged to you. We spoke about this.
Oh, Bob, I'm so sorry. He has no filter. I don't know what he's going to say here now. He's probably going to call it was the worst thing I've ever tasted or something.
It was the strongest thing I ever tasted.
Oh, okay, thank God.
It was the Ukrainian beer.
Oh, the Ukrainians are
and the
right.
yellow.
Yeah, yeah.
And mother of God, I now know how they're holding out against the Russians because Christ above, I drank half a tin of it and I was loopy. That was the day. Remember the podcast that I thought you and Brendan was ganging up me on?
Oh, yeah, we had to cancel that episode.
No, we didn't cancel it. We had to take a break to try and restore our friendship.
Is that because
but
the Ukrainian
beer? But it was because
beer?
I realised that after, the Ukrainian beer made me all paranoid.
So what percentage is this beer?
Yeah.
This beer is only 4.5%.
Ah, that's not too bad. So what are we dealing with?
The challenge you have an odd time is that there's an odd beer that you mightn't make that regularly.
Yeah.
And the ABV might go up and down a wee bit. Do you know that kind of way?
Oh, right.
I'm not claiming anything illegal. Right, yeah, but yeah.
It went over 20%. Yeah.
If you're using a spoon,
yeah,
you know that there's a decent bit of strength in it, right? So you mentioned that had some ill effect on you.
No,
it's some good effects as well.
It's savage, but just not in the rote. And what I was doing with it at the time, I was trying to be coherent and on
friendly.
The ball and witty.
Yeah, yeah.
And instead, I turned into someone else.
Well, you drank 36 cans of it now.
That's always a help.
So, yeah. No matter what percentage it was.
But it was fantastically tasty, and I want to have it in a safe environment from now on.
It's very tasty, but but there's a good bit of strength to it.
So, this is green pale ale. So
this is green pale ale. This is, so every year, right, we make a beer for Paddy's Day, a special beer, and We did a couple of green beers for a couple of years, and we try and do something which mimics a food, right? So the first year we made Shamrock Shake, you know, the McDonald's.
Oh yeah,
we made a Shamrock Shake beer. We made it thick with lactose, so it was like creamy.
Yeah,
and we put mint in it, right. With a load of food coloring, and sure as hell, it was a green beer to taste it like a milkshake.
What are the ingredients in the green beer, Mark?
This year.
Alcohol and green.
Yes.
That's the two ingredients.
It's actually green alcohol we've been to this year.
So is this green? If I pour this out, this is green?
The idea of bringing the glasses along is so that the two glasses you got...
I understand now why we got glasses. Now sorry, I didn't
Now, you'd know you're just used to the podcast.
No, don't pour it yet. I want him to tell me about it. So it's called
not Serpent. Ireland AM.
What's it supposed to taste like and look like?
So it's a New Zealand pale ale in style, right? So the style is actually very light and drinkable. New Zealand pale ale being... We use New Zealand hops, Motueka and Nelson Sauvin, right? Which are very tasty, slightly kind of...
Do you get it from New Zealand?
We get the hops from New Zealand, yeah.
It's green.
The hops.
It's green beer.
It is green beer. Look at that. Look at that.
Oh my God, it's absolutely fully green.
This is the idea.
It's now, alcohol and green.
It is. And also, give it a smell. I should have got you to smell it before.
No, I'm getting it. I'm smelling Ireland off
but
it.
But
it smells like grass and bog.
It smells like a little... It smells like home.
It smells and like misery. Home and misery. It
smells like debt in 2009.
It smells like RIP.ie.
The smell of misfortune off that.
Jesus, the one after seeing on the internet there this evening. You're one that senator from Mayo. She was on RIP.ie something like 8,000 times sending commiserations for funerals.
God.
She didn't go. No. She's going to funerals digitally.
she actually had it farmed out to a company in India who were just doing it for her.
That's a funeral bot.
I can't comment on such things.
Ray is a member of the government.
Department of Government.
Come here. Now,
cheers.
White Hag, the Serpent's Green
Serpent
Beer.
Green Pale Ale.
Now, we're very honest.
Yeah.
So you're honest kind of lads.
No, I should have got you
to taste it before you see it. Because looking at it, it doesn't look appetizing at all. It looks like mouthwash. Right?
It does look like mouthwash.
But when you drink it, close your eyes.
Okay.
Close your eyes and think
taste Ireland.
Think of our Lord.
Okay.
Think of St. Patrick. In the year of 300 or whatever year he was about.
And 1992.
How tasty is that?
Oh my God.
How good is that?
It's lovely beer.
It's lovely beer.
You don't taste the green at all.
So the thing is, the trick was, right, I went up to Belfast 2 weeks ago and we gave, I had a couple of pilot cans and I gave it to a lad in the bar. Yeah. He was getting our green beer this year. I said, have you? Yeah, we've a can of it there. Throw it up there. And he grabs it, opens it, tucks a big slug out of it and goes, you're better green and nice. Yeah, the last two wouldn't have been great.
Did you also make an orange beer if you're selling up that direction? You can't just go up there now just selling green.
Look what's up beside you.
Ah, no way!
I knew you'd ask that.
Really?
Yeah. Riley.
Oh, he's so on the ball.
Pull up that one, Rick. Pull up that one there.
Pull up.
Let me write show them.
What if you do it? If you mix the green and orange, you get conflict.
You get a super split. What did you used to call them?
You get sectarian violence is what you get.
You'd have a Mondoran and the Chasing Bull. Used to make it out of a bottle of WKD and a bottle of Bacardi Breezer and it was wild
fat
stuff.
You frog.
Fat frog. No, was this? No. It was like a fat frog. It was three bottles made 2 pints and then made you sick. That's basically what it is.
What it was called. Show me this
Anyways,
one.
This
Show
is
me
super
this one.
Split.
But what I might do is absolutely polish this way and then pour that one into this one. Then
this is very polishable.
Just going to say it's super light.
Yeah, you know, as furniture juice goes, it's very polishable.
Furniture juice.
Why do you call it furniture juice?
Yeah, because it's very good for polishing. but it's bright green, right? So the whole ambition is, right, you go into a bar and it's pouring in Dublin Airport at the moment. The first person that buys it lifts it up, takes a swig out of it, and everyone else goes, What's that?
Yeah.
I'll have one of those, please. And then it's
And can
itself.
You get it in Dublin Airport?
It's in Dublin Airport. Beside Gate 105, we've a bar there.
The Ryanair Gate.
Ryanair Gate.
I know the one.
You know the one.
Who has a bar there?
They've got two gates there. I've actually 40 of them. We've a bar there. White Hag Tap and Brew, it's called.
Yeah.
Yeah, we've a partner bar there and we've a load of beer in it.
You wouldn't know because you don't go very many places.
No, I'd be trying to avoid anywhere in the world usually, especially on a Ryanair flight. But
anywhere in the world.
Yeah. I avoid kind of anywhere. But Sligo. But, this is like, you could genuinely.
You're onto a winner here.
Yeah, so what's happening is, there was a couple of bars started pouring it last weekend for the rugby. Mm-hmm. And sure, it was flying out in Dublin. So it's sold out, right? We've sold four batches of it. So like,
how many 12 cans
kegs.
In each batch? Oh, sorry.
Kegs.
How do you make it green? Take the water from the Garavogue River.
Shamrocks in it.
I have an image in my head now of when I see a pub. Most people are drinking either something that is goldy coloured or black.
Yeah.
Right? It's one or the other. You obviously be in Egypt, which are brown pint of Guinness or Smithwick's.
Smithwick's. I used to drink Smithwick's, yeah.
Or red.
Red, yeah.
But it's usually gold, yellow stuff.
Do you make red stuff in?
We do, yeah.
Do you?
Oh, yeah.
Red. The revolutionary Rouge, idea, though, of people standing round with pints of green.
Yeah.
And it's revolutionary marketing. I tell you, we have a pink one as well, the Puka, which is a sour beer, which is a really interesting concept. There's no hops in it, so it's flavoured by fruit and like ginger and lemon and hibiscus berries, and it's sour, it's bitter, it tastes like San Pellegrino without any sugar in it.
Oh,
right,
lovely.
But it's very refreshing. People who don't drink beer would easily drink that. If you drink cocktails or you drink mixed drinks or you drink wine, you'll drink that.
How many beers do you brew out there? Like,
we're constantly changing, constantly inventing new ones. We've probably done about 150 different beers.
What's the biggest one?
Little Fawn is the biggest by volume, for sure. Yeah. By a long shot.
But there's another one then that I like as well, but I can't remember the name of it.
Yeah.
Oh, that's good.
You must really like it.
Yeah.
You must be big.
Do you remember your wife's name?
I know the look of the can.
You're the one I like a lot. It's like I'm married to you.
You're my favourite one.
See what you do with things you like.
It's like my favourite tooth. Yeah. By the way, speaking of my favourite, just to catch everybody up before the podcast, I was told today that I have a sick tooth. It's dying apparently in my head.
From drinking green beer.
It's dying and I have to get a root canal and it's going to cost me a fortune. But I'm just wondering, he also put me on several antibiotics and painkillers. How does your green beer interact with such things?
We've done the research. Yesterday we did it. So. I can expect
huge study.
We're expecting the results back after St. Patrick's Day.
Right, okay.
But shouldn't be too late at that stage.
Because that's the thing. Do you only brew a certain amount of this because it's going to go St. Patrick's Day? This is going to be a year round.
We started brewing this. We brewed the first batch in November, we were brewing it right up until we packaged the last batch of it last Friday. But you'd only brew it to order. Really.
How many litres? Thousands.
That's kind of an odd question now. Why would you want to know?
At the same time, it's about 12,000 litres, I'd say.
What the fuck?
Yeah, it's about 25,000 pints.
Do you ever consider the damage you do to everybody.
It's not damaged. It's not damaged. Can you imagine the fun that they would not have?
Yeah.
If they didn't have green beer or beer. Just imagine the void, the vacuum of crack, the crack vacuum without.
But can you imagine how much cleaner toilets it'd be without the beer?
Listen, can you imagine? You wouldn't need toilets.
Can we just talk about this for 1 sec? Me and Ray both work in the nighttime economy, entertainment business, and Ray is going, I wonder, can we stop everyone drinking? There's three of us here that rely on everyone drinking. And Ray's kind of questioning it. Like, I wonder, can we do something maybe to stop people drinking? That's a good point. Do you do any non-alcoholic stuff?
We do, actually. Do you know what?
Yeah.
Do you know
where I was going there now?
We did a non-alcoholic pilot beer for people who fly planes.
For pilots?
You're straight in here.
The first joke of the podcast. Someone told a joke.
Did you ever hear that? I caught this girl out lovely one night above in Carrick and Shannon, going from Rock and Robbins, and we're going back into we're going from Carrick out to Rock and Robbins, and she was down from Dublin, like, and she was down cruising on Shannon, and I had to sit in beside her because there was no space anywhere else.
Sure.
And sit in, and she goes, you like live down here in Leitrim, or are you? I live out the far side of Glengiven. She says, you live where? I said, I live out the far side of Glengiven. She said, what do you do down here? I said, I'm a pilot. She says, you're a pilot? You're an actual pilot? I said, I'm a pilot. Where do you fly? Fly? No, I work out in Kerrigan's quarries. What a quarry? What would you be? Why would you be a pilot out there? Let's bring in the stone to me and I pilot. she literally had to get out of the bus. At this stage, the whole bus was on my side.
I was losing my mind there when you said when you said you worked out the quarry. I was going, I'm not great with jokes. But Christ above, when you said I work, I said, oh, I'm not getting this. I started panicking in my head, going, this is going to be the worst joke ever because I don't get it. And I laughed.
I'm going to polish this off. Is this orange?
That's
actual orange. It comes out orange.
So it's orange. It'll be yellowy orange. Yeah. It'll be yellowy orange. Jeez, you're fairly putting them into you, fair play to you. Look at him with the hand.
No, you want to turn me on a drink, is it, Jeff? Yeah. You stupid, the two of you. Pair of wankers, the two of you telling me about how to drink, is it, Jeff?
But you know something? I didn't believe when Ray says, I will have a couple of drinks for the podcast. I says, there's no way on a Tuesday evening they're going drinking.
Oh, man, I drink almost all of the hours. No, I don't. I'm only been. Look at that, Ray.
Now, see, it's darker now, but it's probably 7 or 8 months old.
I wish
now.
I left more in this.
It's a summer beer.
That's nice.
You make novelty beers. Really, fundamentally, you make novelty beers to get people into beer.
Yeah.
You know, to get people to get attention for your brand and get people to come in and go, Jesus, actually, that tastes nice. Someone who won't drink a big IPA will drink a super split because they ate them when they were young fellas.
Yeah, my worry.
Oh, my God, that is a super split.
Isn't it a super split?
It's a super split.
Vanilla and orange.
Yeah. So I'll be fully honest simple. With you, right?
Well, I was hoping you'd be honest.
And let you know.
And come in here to get lied to. Kind of a fucking podcast,
you're dead,
is it?
You're dead right. We're not
allowed to curse on it. No.
What's the kind of cream taste in the background?
That'll be a cream.
Is it actually?
Yeah.
Vanilla.
Is it? Yeah.
Little bit of lactose milk.
It does taste like a super split, doesn't it?
Yeah.
If they're very milky. Back to the non-alcoholic stuff.
We made an alcoholic one for to trial, see if we could make it, and I'm actually bringing a batch of it to Copenhagen this weekend because they asked me specifically to bring along.
But
we're actually sponsoring, this is hard to fathom, we're sponsoring a big Irish festival in the middle of Copenhagen in the square on Sunday, where they're having a big stage, Irish musicians and dancers and all that crack, and a bar to one side of it, and we're all of the bar. And they said bring along a couple of non-alcoholic beers because there'll be a couple of lads there and out that probably either shouldn't
we'll
or
driving.
Won't be driving.
We'll be driving. That's
we'll
all you need to say.
Yeah,
there'll
yeah,
be we'll a few lads there now that obviously to get to the thing.
And they'll drive home again, they'll bring all the rest of us. And then so bring 24 cans for them and then bring 30 kegs for the rest of us.
That's kind of the ratio.
The balance.
Is
the ratio.
That the ratio?
That's the ratio.
24 cans.
Have you ever, been to Copenhagen? Jesus. Oh my.
So are you in Copenhagen for Paddy's Day?
I'm in Copenhagen for Paddy's Day. Friday, Saturday, Sunday, coming on Monday.
Yeah. A big question.
Yeah.
If I was listening to this podcast now on Saturday, right? The day, St. Patrick's Day Eve.
Yes.
I wanted a green beer. Where, in Sligo for starters, would you get them? Obviously, you could tip out to Ballymote. It's an industrial estate. You go in, you knock on the big roller door.
Yeah.
What's his name answers?
Mooch.
Mooch answers.
Yeah, Mooch.
Can I get Can I get some green beer?
You won't do that on Saturday. On Saturday, you'll go down to Thomas Connolly's.
Okay.
And you'll get a pint of it or two of it. Yeah. You'd get one in Fury's, into Stevie and Fury's.
But would you get it in our sponsors in the Garavogue or Maves?
Maves will have it.
Thank you.
They're getting it right now.
We're sponsored by Maves.
When did Maves sponsor you? And did you not put up a sign or something?
We beeped the shite out of those other two bars.
It's not easy selling beer in Sligo, but I tell you. But there's a couple of great bars. Breeze will have it, but Maves actually have it pouring from this evening because Paul went in with it this evening. He'll be pouring it. But Maves is a great bar. I was in watching the rugby on Saturday.
Oh, it's unbelievable, isn't it?
It's a great bar.
Like, they've actually turned it into a. I don't want to mention other pubs in Sligo, but there's other pubs who have themed themselves to look like pubs, It is actually a lovely pub.
It's a great pub.
So in Maves, you said they're pouring it. Is it in cans or is it on a tap?
They're pouring it on tap, yeah.
You're joking, it's on tap.
It'll be on tap. It'll be pints all over the place. There's 15 places in Copenhagen pouring it over the weekend.
That's brilliant.
We're doing a tap take over Copenhagen. There's a place called the Shamrock Inn in Copenhagen, which is like what you said, a classic Irish bar, but also craft beer, modern beer, contemporary kind of approach, right? And there's a guy called Nathan McNamara who runs it. And he does that Guinness and Smithix and one or two classic Irish beers. And he does he has five of our stuff on tap all the time. Yeah. Five, which is amazing. Outside of Ireland, have five of your beers pouring in any one pub,
Yeah.
And he's kind of seen as a lighthouse for Irish barkeeping in Denmark.
Yeah.
And people go see what he is on, copy what he's on. So I've sent him out rake t-shirts and Bunting and all that kind of crap.
Is it hard? Is it hard to sell a drink when you're not Guinness?
It's hard. When you're not Diageo, it's easier to sell it away. It's easier to sell it outside of Ireland than it is at home. We have a huge... 60% or 70% of our footprint is in Ireland, sales-wise, right? So your pubs and the airport and Lidl, Dunn's, Foley's and off-license that, and then O'Brien's and all that. They all take a lot. They take volume. But when you're going to do the sale, like walk into a bar in France, I spent a week in France at the start of January, and you walk in and it's massive welcome for you. Present your products, and I didn't have one person refuse to buy beer. Left friends, and we sent a load of beer to France for Paddy's Day. Yeah, they love it.
That's brilliant.
But you went to someplace in Sligo. I was like, mate.
Yeah.
Hey.
You want to have a chat now? I'm telling you one thing. I've had Guinness in here now since 1956. I'm not changing.
I've tried in the past. You can sell all the beer you want to people with, one knee in their trousers and half a head of hair and a tattoo up their ear and then you have to leave the swag, man. And you have to go. Swagman's probably our biggest bar in Sligo for doing
Thank
volume.
God you said that.
But the Swagman has hipsters in en masse, right?
It
is people chasing that vibe, right? And then you go and you look for other bars, and then you get to a point where you've gone to all the bars that could sell craft beer.
Yeah.
And once every so often you'll go beyond that.
Right.
And you'll try a bar that maybe shouldn't sell craft beer,
Jenny's. You were in Jenny's, wasn't you?
Stop naming every bar in the town.
I'm not going to name bars, right?
It's unbelievable. And we're never going to be allowed to do another podcast again. We're sponsored by a bar.
You can't name bars like
that. Which he has clearly said is class.
Oh. Yeah, I've never been in Jenny's. But let's say hypothetically, if there was a bar called, say, Larry's Bar.
Yes.
Right?
Would you sell it in Larry's Bar?
I tried. Did
you?
Yeah.
Did you?
You're brave, man.
First thing, there's a couple of steps in doing that. The first thing is actually getting in the door,
Having lads with you.
Who the fuck are you?
Keep you safe when you're in there.
You need to look like you belong.
Yeah.
I didn't look
that
like...
That yellow jumper wouldn't work.
I didn't look... No.
You putting up outside your Tesla.
It wasn't near enough...
With your green beer.
It wasn't near enough stains on it.
No.
Who the fuck are you? And I was ID'd. Because I looked really out of place, baseball cap and shorts and that kind of crack. And
you were the personification of Notions.
Notions. Yeah. And what the fuck are you doing here? Yeah, where selling beer? How are you? Give us your ID. So I had no ID.
Yeah.
So I produced a payslip. No. What the fuck is that?
See, Bob, your payslip would be considerably larger than most of ours.
No, the fact that I had a payslip.
That's an odd looking door card. Yeah, yeah, you imagine after pulling.
What the fuck is that? What are you selling anyways? Yeah. What are you selling? I'm selling an IPA. An IPA? Jerry was in the IPA. His name wasn't even Jerry, but he got a skin condition in Torremolinos in 1994 and he couldn't shave for 2 weeks and he grew a beard and that's why they called him Jerry. Jerry, we're doing the APA. I wasn't, but he blew the head off you. Oh, yeah.
It's funny.
How'd you get?
It's funny around about selling it in pubs. I did some work for you. We just talked about it before we recorded. In broadcast and High Extravaganza, which is your festival every year. Mm-hmm. And what I loved about it was you interviewed like 21, 22 different breweries. We were all there doing their stuff. Mm-hmm. And it was like in our industry, like let's say if I'm in a wedding band and I invite 22 other wedding bands to come along and tell everyone how great they are. And I just thought, you know what? Isn't it brilliant that there's a community there for beer people who are like, I don't give a shit. You're Grace and I'm Grace and we're all great. Let's all sell a beer.
That would not happen.
Can we just imagine the wedding band situation for a minute?
Yeah.
So you and 22 other wedding bands are in a function room somewhere in Loughrea.
And I'm saying, book all of them, not me. No, don't be booking me now. Book everyone else. That's what it was like for you.
Drink their beer.
Now, the only thing is they were international though. Did you had some Irish ones there as well?
We always bring three or four small Irish breweries along.
Keep your enemies close.
Bring the small lads along. If they succeed, you'll still be able to choke them.
You're just going, yeah, give me that beer there and I get every ingredient to it.
No, do you know what happens? You bring along the young, keen, young Irish breweries and they latch on to the other breweries and they latch on to the distributors. You know, Keen Beery. He latches on to other lads and gets a bit of business for themselves and that's kind of what it's about. Yeah. But you're right, you do that promoting them in your country and you go back. I got an email about 20 minutes ago that I was quite unsociably trying to reply to when I was chatting to you there from Yeager Wise, who's a brewer in the UK, and she's on the Saturday morning show, the breakfast show on a Saturday morning where they're cooking and talking shite.
Probably ITV
on BBC
or some shit.
BBC.
This morning.
Hollywood.
Which morning? Philip Schofield.
Not him. Have you got the internet? Have you seen what happened to him?
Philip Schofield. He's a lovely man.
Kate Middleton isn't popular at the moment either. I don't know if you've been knocking about the internet.
Is she even around anymore?
I think
she's like Shergar.
I think she's
no one knows where the fuck she is.
So she's not in Ballinamore, is she?
She could really do with coming out and someone getting a snap of her.
Because
at the moment we're all worried about her safety. We're thinking, oh my god, what happened to her?
They put out a photo of her a couple of days ago and it was photoshopped.
Oh, she'd have about 8 hands in it.
She'd be fake arms, but it was like an episode of Bad Rich Head.
It's like one of them. It's like one of those characters from Street Fighter.
Yeah. One of her arms is about 8 meters long. It was going around the house and everything. People haven't seen her. Like, what the hell is going on? Anyway,
she's going to be on This Morning with Philip Schofield on Saturday morning, and she was looking for her to put her beer on it.
Kate Middleton.
Not the other one. I can't remember her name. Pippa Schofield.
Pippa's Middleton.
Pippa Schofield.
You were talking about the lady that's selling the beer is going to be on this morning.
No, she makes the beer, but she's going to be having our beer on.
But she's the one that's going to be in this morning, not Kate Middleton.
Not Kate Middleton, no.
Because you got my hopes up there now. I thought we were going to get some closure.
I'd say a lot of people are hoping that she appears somewhere on television over the weekend.
So your beer is going to be on ITV, BBC or someone
else? It'll be on ITV or BBC or one of those, the English channels, the channels, whatever ones. You know, get the dodgy box.
Dodgy box?
Nobody gets the dodgy box.
No, does that not happen?
I don't even know what that is. I paid 240
rare
guy.
Rare done.
I had a question for
rare
you. On a Saturday when I met you said, oh, I'll come on the podcast. I have a great story about the difference between beer drinkers in the North Sligo and the South Sligo.
South Sligo drinks Smiddix.
I couldn't.
North Sligo.
So unless you were inebriated at the wheel.
No. I'll tell you what. It's not so much a North Sligo, South Sligo thing. It is pretty much a South Sligo thing, though. It's when we started brewing, we got the brewery up and running.
Yeah.
We got broken into.
Oh.
Right. And the brewery got broken into. Hopefully you'll find it funnier. It'll be a wasted trip having me on here. So the brewery was broken into and there was, needless to say, thousands and thousands of bottles and kegs of beer inside. Yeah. But I'd say whoever broke in mightn't have understood how beer works.
Oh.
And was possibly looking for Budweiser and not Imperial Stouts or double IPAs or the kind of stuff that we had in the fucking brewery. Yeah. Right. So they obviously went around and tasted a few different ones to see which ones to steal. And eventually kind of ran out of patience, I'd say, or maybe the alarm was going off and was annoying them. So they end up grabbing an armful of stuff anyways, right, and sort of making their way out.
Yes.
But what we found was that they only got as far as the fence outside and dropped all the beer, right? Didn't steal any of the beer, right? But they've absolutely fleeced all the toilet roll out of the fence.
Well, they had one swig of that beer and they said, fuck me, I need that. I need the Jacks.
Would this have been somewhere before COVID when there was a run on toilet paper?
I'm talking 2014, I'd say.
No, so hang on now a minute. You're talking about your own business with beautiful beers and you're saying not even a fella who was robbing it would drink it.
What I'd say is that tastes have evolved in the 10 well, years since
well,
we opened.
Well, that or your brewing capabilities yeah. have evolved.
Well, it's funny. No, it is
but
funny.
No, that was before we brewed it. He was just robbed the water.
Oh, no.
Ballymote water.
Ballymote unboiled water.
That'll leave you looking for the toilet
roll. It is funny, Bob, you say that though, because you're brewing your beer in South Sligo, which is very close to Roscommon, where I come from.
Mm-hmm.
And they're kind of one and the same once you kind of go past Caloody, I find.
They are, yeah, yeah. If
you the can, people, you I don't want to generalise, but yeah, I'm one of them anyway.
Right.
But like, it's either, unless you're drinking Smiddix or Carlsberg, not like yeah. even Guinness isn't that big. It's weird, man. There's parts...
In Roscommon.
There's parts of Roscommon where it's only Carlsberg.
Yeah.
And then there's parts
South Roscommon.
Yeah. I don't understand Carlsberg drinkers. Do you
oh,
want,
I don't
do
either
you?
At all.
Is anybody?
I don't even see people selling it. I see, like, it's
on
it's
draft,
amazing.
Man. If you go to Tulsk, you don't Castle see it, Plunkett, you don't, Strokestown, they're all drinking Carlsberg.
You rarely see it anymore
yeah,
in places.
It's mad.
It's like when you go up the north or you go up to Dundalk and they're all drinking Harp.
Oh, yeah.
With pint of Harp
yeah,
there.
There you go, yeah.
They're
yeah.
all drinking it.
Yeah.
And
so,
what's in that?
There was a very good ad back in the 90s, as far as I remember. I think
they've hung on to it ever since.
The Camel, was it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It was very good. They don't make ads like that anymore.
No.
But what I was getting at is that you're brewing these wonderful out there beers. Like when you think of South
yeah,
Sligo,
yeah, yeah.
was coming in South Sligo.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And like.
Notions.
No, but I'd wonder how. You know, the real, real local.
The hardcore.
Local.
Like, well, it was so Doddy's in Ballymote would sell a load of Little Fawn.
Right. Yeah, so yeah, people yeah. have taken to it then.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. Oh, pockets of people. It, like, you'll get pockets in. All around the country. In Connolly's and Colooney sells Atlantean, right? Atlantean isn't on tap in...
That's the one I like.
That's the one you like. The orangey one.
I knew it.
Those women were in the net. I knew if I kept naming them, we'd
oh,
eventually...
That's great.
He has it on draft in Connolly's. There isn't five places in the country pouring Atlantean. It's a New England IPA, really hazy, really orangey, 5.4%. It's a fantastic beer.
Oh, but you like Blue Moon, though. Would it be similar
it's
enough to that
in
kind
that,
of
it's kind
yeah,
of
but I'm not
now.
Good at Blue Moon. This
no,
is
yeah.
where the Ukrainian beer had a problem
no,
with me.
No, we'd want to find
yeah.
a balance for you.
I insult yeah. your shoes if I drink the Blue Moon.
Yeah, so you might be the same on that Atlantean.
Why
you can't
live them silly shoes like. And
but
I
isn't it funny that all of a sudden that's the one that just kicked off there in that pub?
Yeah, so he likes it himself and he pushes it on people and then people get to like it. Ballisadere, the boys in Ballisadere, the Peacock Lane have Fawn and Ninth Wave. Breeze is. So Tom in Breeze does the photography for us. So he gets the beer before anyone gets the beer. He'll have cans, take the photos of it,
yeah.
have a taste of it. And Tom will be always like, oh, geez, can we stick that on? And
yeah.
he'll have three lines pouring of our stuff. And people get around it. Local people get around it and go, we've a dry stout. Exactly the same as the big. The big black one from James's Gate. Exactly like it.
Right, what's that one called again?
It's in.
Big black one, James's Gate. What's it called?
It's guys on the bee machine.
Something in the bee machine.
It's Arthur Juice. it's in Thomas Conley's.
Is it?
Yeah, it'd be pouring in Thomas Conley's. But it's also pouring in Breeze. The Palace on Fleet Street in Dublin just put in a tap of it alongside. And that's a legendary Guinness house.
Yeah.
Porter House in Temple Bar, in the middle of Temple Bar, have it. So we've about 10 or 12 counts around the country of it. But. We do beers like a straight up dry stout, straight up lager that anyone can drink, but it's very hard to compete in that space because Heineken own it and Guinness own it, and Heineken have six brands. Oh, you don't like Heineken? Want an alternative? We've got a Peroni, we've got a Moretti, we've got a Coors, we've got a
they've got
a ton of them.
They're like the Wedding Band Association,
exactly like that.
Will
yeah.
you stop
association?
They've all.
Why would it be a Wedding Band Association?
Six or seven different bands,
just in case. Wedman Association has about 400 bands, right?
The Bentley Boys.
I saw the Bentley Boys.
I was at two weddings one day and they were playing both of them at the same time.
But a whole different people. So I want to circle back to the green beer.
Oh, yeah.
It's marvelous.
Did you like that?
I really
no, it actually
it.
Is unreal. I'm not just saying
I meant to get you to taste it out of the can before you poured it so you go, oh, that's really nice because you can't see it.
I had a little drop. There was a bit drop. I'm fucking out of it.
But even the
it's only 4.5%. Well, whatever's in it, what time of the year is it?
And the pain relief and the antibiotics.
Oh, he's about to take
good
top off.
It's good for
that's
antibiotics.
The end of the podcast.
Did you? Do you see what I brought with me?
Go on.
I brought an imperial stout, a 10.2% imperial.
Can
stout.
Can I try it?
You can. I brought a mochaccino. I brought a mochaccino.
Oh, this is not going to end well. Everybody wants a
mochaccino. Is like a light brown. It's like a light brown shoe. Oh. It's like a moccasin, but it's got cream on the toes.
It's a coffee.
It's a coffee stout.
Ray,
it's amazing.
Ray, you have to try that. No. I'll try the stout.
But sure, it'll wake up after the last beer.
Come on, give me that jet black one there. I love the can.
The can's amazing. Right? That's
look at that.
No one can hear you.
I know. I'm back into it there now.
Look at that.
Should have got a wee Alicia Keys mic.
Switch it up there, Jim.
So that's the black boar. Now that's the barrel aged black boar, right? Which means that we brewed it for about a full day, and then you put it into a whiskey barrel, and the whiskey barrel gives it a load of whiskey flavors, vanilla, honey, kind of roast chocolate flavors.
Jesus!
And it's outrageous stuff. Now that's one of the highest rated beers in the country within in Ireland.
You mean highest rated for its alcohol level, is it?
No, highest rated in terms of users going on like they do on Airbnb or TripAdvisor, but for beers.
Am I going to have to pour that like I do a normal Guinness?
You pour a sip of it and see if you like it, and pour a sip for him and pour a sip for me, actually.
I'll be honest with you.
Oh, yeah, buddy.
My one, right?
Yeah.
It smells like those sweets that you wouldn't necessarily choose first off in a box of roses.
That's the one.
But then eventually you're down to it and you've no choice.
Yeah, January 12th or
you're
something.
You're getting the hazelnut swirl.
Yeah.
You package it, put them all together and make a present out of it. That's plenty. Now, smell it. Get the nose into it.
I'm going to stick my nose into this I'm a connoisseur.
Tell us what you smell. Like, literally tell us what you smell. What does it remind you of?
It reminds me of when my father used to bring me up to the... No, I'm a joke.
Up to the bog. He brought you to the bog.
Can I smell it? I'll smell
it. But the bog was on fire and it was all burnt turf.
That smells a little bit coffee-ish as well.
Coffee, bit of treacle maybe.
That's what
treacle,
it is.
Yeah, molasses.
That's what it is.
Treacle molasses, yeah.
It's bloody
rich,
treacle.
Rich brown sugar.
You used to put it on silage.
When it was wet.
Yeah.
You only put it on silage when it was really wet.
Am I drinking silage water? Throw us out that can.
Do you know what we did actually?
Bob, take us up.
After we took the beer out of it, out of the barrel, we gave the barrel up to Great Northern Distillery and they put whiskey in it, right? So it was a whiskey barrel.
Yeah,
we put beer in it, then took the beer out and sent it back to the distillery and they put whiskey in it again, and it made amazing whiskey.
And now the whiskey tastes like beer.
And now the whiskey tastes like beer, and we're releasing that in about 3 weeks' time, 2 weeks' time. The whiskey
is that not a load of bollocks? Is that bollocks? Where you put something into a wood casket and it...
Well, Jesus, not bollocks, no. They'd have it in stainless steel otherwise.
Mm. Yeah, I was going to say, that's mad.
It's a painful process because you lose a load of beer, so it soaks into the wood. And then when you're emptying it, you never get it all out. And then it's a pain in the hole with wooden barrels. You can't transport them around the place, or they move over and back and shake and liquid comes out.
Yeah.
So you have a pain in the hole. You're only storing it in it to get the flavour and aroma and mouthfeel out of it.
We've gone past useful podcast content.
Oh, right. He's right.
Hang on now.
Have, and I know drink is involved. But
I didn't realise that three boys sitting in a room, Ray, needed an adjudicator there who's deciding what conversation works or not.
Thank God you've got a guide for us.
Sorry,
yeah,
no.
Jesus, yeah. Like. Do you want to take out the agenda again? Someone tell us what is right to be talking about, Ray. Three boys can't have a chat anymore, like. Your man
couldn't
here,
get away with it.
That's a full civil servant thing to do, isn't it?
Well, excuse me.
Yeah.
Is this part of what we agreed? The scope of...
This wasn't on the minutes last week, Ray, wasn't it?
Okay, fine. Well, turn same crack.
The big civil servant heavy
of peace, I think it's called.
To summarise Bob's contribution to today's
It was marvellous, I thought.
Yes, it was marvellous.
Fair play to you.
Thank you for coming in. It's very kind of you. Honestly, you're the CEO of a rather large brewing conglomerate.
Commercial director.
Yeah, it's very, very rare that a man of your stature will come in.
Would grace
us with your presence.
But you know, it's great to be here. But you know what? In fairness, one of the things we've done, try to do more and more, we do a bit with Sligo Rovers, a bit of sponsorship and a bit of stuff with their podcast. And we do a bit of stuff with the likes of Comedy Week, the Comedy Festival in Sligo, which was a fantastic initiative in Sligo in February. It is tricky getting stuff up and off the ground, and that's one of the things we were very proud of, was to be involved in the likes of the Comedy Festival and see it come to life like that. The lads in the showgrounds, there seems to be a groundswell of stuff happening around Sligo Rovers and the showgrounds, and so we don't have like big budgets for sponsoring stuff, but where you can get involved and enable and help other projects in the community, in the locality, in the region, you try to get involved. That means you do get asked to do an awful lot of stuff and you can't do all of it. Not all of it's appropriate for an alcohol company. We try and stay out of the stuff that isn't appropriate, you know.
Big Crest sponsorship. Can't do it.
Now, Bumblebee Children. Sponsored by White Hag Brewery. For all the dads out there.
10.2% Imperial Stout. No, but may not drive accurately.
The one thing I would say to you is the League of Ireland, though, stick to that. That is growing huge, man.
It is, and it does need...
Obviously, you can't drink at games, though. That's the thing.
Well, you can't, but like, yeah, it's. I think that needs to maybe be looked at immaturely in terms of how you drink at games,
yeah.
Or how alcohol is enjoyed alongside sport. Because a lot of times it's abused. It's like yin and yang. It's either completely over the top or it's banned, you know?
Yeah.
And that's not kind of sensible behaviour either. Mm. But yeah, we don't over-involve ourselves directly in the club. We involve ourselves with the supporters club and try and have our contribution that way, you know?
Yeah.
But yeah, look, we're delighted to be involved in whatever we can kind of help out with in the community in Sligo. And anything that gets your brand in front of people, it's a challenge, constant challenge.
Yeah.
Keeping your brand in front of people, making sure people know where to get your beer.
I know a good idea.
What's the good idea?
So, myself and Luke Stevani, friend of the podcast.
That's right.
Last night we were in a filling station in Grange. And
they were in the toilet in the filling station.
We were both in the toilet in the filling station in Grange. Nothing untoward here. But he said, have you seen the wonderful graffiti that's in the cubicle? And I said, no, I have not. And he said, come here and behold. Oh, so yeah. I wrapped up and I went round and I looked and I seen.
Fair play to you.
And the graffiti read in black marker, Harvey Norman Ireland.
Harvey Norman Sligo read it.
Harvey Norman Sligo.
You were joking. Yeah. Commercial graffiti.
So what I'm saying to you is, could you not go round? Because that's one place every fella visits at least once in a week, which is a finish
station.
So why don't you just, it wouldn't take you long, a couple of weeks. You could tip around every filling station in Ireland, just write White Hag beer.
Well, it is funny though.
You'd never get the blame for it either. You saw my handwriting.
Actually, I didn't think of that. Yeah. Harvey Norman's are big. They're a big outfit. You know,
where'd you get the name White Hag?
Yeah.
Do you know what White Hag means?
No.
Mother Nature.
Oh.
She's the mother of everything that was created on this earth. Also.
Yes.
Also, women originally made beer, not men. So women did the cooking and they made the beer.
No.
But when they made beer, they were seen as witches. Because remember, alcohol was a magical substance that got you intoxicated.
Yes.
So there's a science behind it. Before science could be explained, mythology explained it.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah, yeah.
The clouds were gods getting angry and that kind of crap.
Yeah.
Stephen Fry is really good at explaining this. I'm not. but women would have had a reputation as being witches or being sorceresses. Mm-hmm. And would, you know, some of them would have been respected for making good alcohol. You made alcohol and someone died, she got burnt at the stake type of thing, you know.
Yeah.
And you got to bring, like, there's a little element of respect for females in the brewing industry, which has been lacking for, you know, maybe 200 years. But but prior to that, they were the primary beer makers. So, yeah, it's recognising the
role
of the
female. Is it all girls out in Ballymote now that's doing it?
We've a couple of girls out there. There's a couple of girls working it. There's a qualified female brewer who's essentially office-based. She does all the planning for beer brewing. And she's really good. She's a qualified distiller and brewer who works with us, Erica.
Geez, that's not something that a girl would be guided into in secondary school. You could make beer.
You could go Dervla. Yeah. A load of alcohol.
Dervla, you could make beer for a living.
Well, would it be... Well, here's a good
Where
one.
Where would we sell it?
Would it be that... I mean, if you go by the history of it as well, is that they make us, fellas drink us. Do you know?
Yeah.
Would you find that most of your...
Girls drink it too, though.
Girls do drink it. You know what? We did a bit of research and we found that women were open to drinking our beer. We're very actually excited about our beer in a way that the researcher would have said other beer brands don't rate as highly with women. Now, it may be because of the name, or maybe because of the colours and patterns we use, maybe because of the openness of the brand.
Maybe you're just a cute guy, Bob, who knows?
Really sexy owners. What's the biggest component? Yeah. But he really found this, and he said that's a huge opportunity to explore, is why do women find themselves attracted to your beer, which doesn't naturally happen. We didn't set out to design a beer
for the ladies.
Yeah.
But it happens. And like, we didn't set, so we've a little fawn. I didn't fucking tell you this. This could be good for your teeth and other things.
No, you'll save that tooth, yes.
Little fawn is gluten free.
What does that mean?
It means there's no gluten in it. Sorry, I thought, is this mic working?
Yeah. Come here, we'll get a little whiteboard and we'll draw it up for you.
It's gluten free, right?
But here's still don't understand why gluten is such an evil thing.
If you're gluten intolerant, you'd know about it.
Okay.
Yeah, you'd be in the toilet more than once a week.
Is that what happens?
Well, it's one of the things, one of the byproducts.
So you're saying the white.
But there's also lots of things.
White Hag, Little Fawn.
Little Fawn and Ninth Wave, right? Our two biggest beers. So we were asked to go to a music festival last year with the beer, Beyond the Pale Festival down in Wicklow.
Oh,
right? So you lads were involved in it, and they said, look, you know, would you be interested in pitching for it? I said, sound. They said, have you gluten-free beer? I said, do I fuck?
Yes.
Sure, it doesn't sell. Sure, no one would buy that. Yeah. They were like, oh, we have a load of requests for it. And I said, ah, notions, just hipsters going along. Yeah, just annoying you online, you know, because nothing else to be on Instagram when you're asking you for gluten-free beers. And I says, no, we don't. And we were back in the office going, we must have a look at this because it's more than a non-alc beer like you asked earlier on. We really need to look at this and understand, is there a gap in the market? So we got our beer tested. Not only one, but two of the beers tested gluten-free. And we've never changed a thing.
They were naturally gluten-free.
Anyways, we discovered 2 weeks after Beyond the Pale was over, right?
Oh,
we discovered it. We spent 6 more months testing it and we've now just released it as gluten-free. And apparently it's making a huge difference. Them are the things you discover on the journey that you probably would try to figure out earlier if you could, you know? Yeah. It's mad stuff. It's awful crack as well, making beer. As in, genuinely making beer and trying to design beer and trying to... put together the beer, the product, because it's two things. It's a brand and it's the product. Product has to be really good, and the brand will attract you once, the product will attract you back.
Yeah.
Right? So you have to attract people in with a brand and brand behavior. The rest of it is make the juice good enough, make the beer good enough for people to go, that's my favorite beer.
So how involved are you in the process nowadays still?
We had a meeting this morning about planning all the beer to the end of the year, all the specials. I've got 3 collaboration beers that we need to make with different other breweries. We've got requests for different beer. I've already sold Christmas beer to a guy, big distributor. It is red. It's a red IPA. We have a Christmas beer going to a place who needed it booked in February because it needs to ship in the end of August to hit all the distribution points.
Yeah. You could sell the Paddy's beer with it. It's red and green, like.
You could.
Christmas colours.
There's something in that.
Let's start talking about your Christmas the box.
It's funny. Yeah. He brought that up. He saw it and brought it up, and I was like, "We'll probably do that for Paddy's Day." He said, "Yes, this is a good idea."
And Christmas,
Mr. Bob. Maybe not Christmas, no. But I'll talk to you about other beers, maybe Ray.
I think Ray, between myself and Ray, we could have some good beer ideas.
Beer ideas.
Well, you know.
Yeah, people come to us with ideas for beer.
Oh, that must be the best, though. Shite ideas.
Is there any chance you'd make one with pepperoni?
An old 12 inch.
Would you do anything pepperoni with a banana?
We're making a banana and chocolate beer later in the year. We're actually
Why
making
would you
banana
mix
and chocolate.
Those two things? I know, I love.
Have you ever tasted banoffee pie?
Oh, it's my favourite.
Imagine see that beer you just tasted, a stout with banoffee.
Oh,
it's outrageously good.
I ate that without salt. Yeah. That is beautiful. Yeah,
we've made in the stouts, we made Black Forest Gatto.
No way.
So Kirch, which is like a cherry puree.
Oh, yeah,
and,
I like that.
And cream and chocolate in the stout. We've made a salted caramel stout. We've done a chili and chocolate one. So spice and
You've
chocolate.
You've far too much
cinnamon.
Time in your hands. Like after Guinness, back in 1799, make it black and put a head in it.
What?
Yeah, no.
Done.
What convinced you that anyone would want to drink this fucking concoction?
Actually, we'll leave it with this question out.
You
could
make a
good
selection
actually.
Box, you could.
We do make a selection box every year. Christmas. Jesus. It's like the orange beer. Yeah, you wouldn't believe the amount of people.
There'll always be a certain amount of tins that'll be left behind. Yeah.
We can leave it on this one, maybe. Okay.
Yeah.
I want to ask you this question in good confidence now. Did you ever make...
I was never near that. Money wasn't even resting. it was a mala of money.
Did you ever make a stout that was based on like a bog taste?
A bog ale.
Mm. Was
we
it?
Did. Mm. Did you taste that? A red bottle.
Mm. No, I know I can't tell the story now.
Go on.
No, it wasn't in a red bottle. It was on a draft. I got it on a draft.
Yeah, it would have been. I'm talking 8 years ago, 9 years ago. Go on, tell the story.
You have to.
No, I don't want to.
You have to now.
It's not insulting. We don't make it anymore.
Okay, good. I wanted to buy, I won't name the place, even though we've already named it. I wanted to buy a pint stout and they said, we don't have Guinness. And I was like, well, that's disappointing. Years ago now. And they said, but I do have this other stout though. Would you like to try it? I was like, I'm young and hip and just moved to Sligo. Of course I will.
From Roscommon.
From Roscommon.
Yeah.
And I'm not joking. It was the only time I was ever ignorant in a pub. I drank it and I went up to the young barmaid and I said to her, I really hope this wasn't your beer. Don't serve that to anyone else.
Everyone I'm else. From the HSE.
It actually tastes like I was drinking bog water out the Ballandrimney Road. Yeah. Roscommon. Honest to God.
That wasn't ours.
Oh, thank God. It was the worst thing I've ever tasted my whole life. Have you broke Roscommon yet?
There's nowhere in Roscommon selling our beer.
Thank God. Or beer, at least I know.
Or in Dayson beer.
At least I know they're the same as when I left them 13 years ago.
The only thing, we used to sell lambs, to bring lambs down to that league in Roscommon.
Oh, yeah, to be slaughtered.
Oh, Jesus, that was a
man, I used to play football and hurling across the smell.
The smell.
The smell of that
sheer
league.
Sheer pile of smell. And that was
there's a sheep killing factory, that league, like, and the football pitch is right across.
Keepack. It's a wild spot.
Oh, man, the smell. Okay.
Anyway, listen, that was
just Chernobyl.
That was episode 236. We'd like to thank Bob Coggins for coming all the way in from Ballymore.
For the first 3 hours of
go drink red, go drink green beer for the weekend.
Green beer for the weekend.
Yeah, thanks for and thanks for giving the shout out about the green beer. To make sure now that we'll put a picture. I'll send you a picture of the thing for.
Yup, yeah, yeah, dead right. Come here, Bob, before we leave. We always say a fair play to me. So you just follow our lead. You say it last. Yeah, and then we all shout, good luck. That's all you got to do.
That's all you got to do.
Bob, thanks for coming in. Ray, fair play to me.
Fair play to me.
Fair play to me.
Good luck.
Good luck now. Good luck, bye.
Yep.
The Kendi and Rabo Podcast, sponsored by Maeve's Cozy Front Lounge.